This is an audio timestamp for Hall 1B. This is the Domain Name Association and CEO Task Force update meeting. Originally scheduled to begin at 1700 hours local time, was started a few minutes late due to a meeting running over previous, and is scheduled to conclude at 1830 local time. Thank you. All recordings and streams in Adobe Connect is live.
Good afternoon, everybody. Thanks very much for calling, coming this evening, this afternoon. It feels like evening. We're going to get started right away because we have a lot of information to present, and we've really structured this session, so we are going to try to have a good, solid amount of feedback, time, discussion, Q&A, at the end. So we're going to go through a series of presentations, and I'll be keeping the time as well. And I'm joined to my left by illustrious leaders from the domain name industry, Adrian Kinderis, Raymond King, Elliot Noss, Edmund Chung. I'm not going to take much time with introduction. I will say, though, for those of you who aren't following this initiative from its origins, it really began with a series of roundtables that were initiated, CEO-level roundtables to gather a selection of registries and registrars, not so much to talk about ICANN issues or even policy, but really to look at opportunities and challenges that were arising with all of the change that's coming about in the DNS and the changes that are upon us. We have an incredibly dynamic group of really very talented visionary leaders, I have to say, and Fadi doesn't like to let any meeting go without some action item that comes out of it. The action items, though, was really the participants who signed up, leapt up, in fact, to form task forces to address proposals and ideas to really get ahead of the curve on some of the opportunities and challenges. And so this session is really devoted to explaining the outcomes of those task forces, and we'll do it at a very high level. And again, I apologize, we don't have too much time. And get through what are some very exciting developments at this stage. And really, they are at a stage where they should get some feedback, so these CEOs and leaders will know how to take them forward and hopefully seek your assistance in that. The second part of the presentation is probably better introduced by Adrian Kinderis when we get to it, but it's about the Domain Name Association. I think you've perhaps heard about it in some other sessions if you've attended them, but we will have Adrian go through that proposal. This is an independent organization, but one that is very much focused on the mission of realizing and supporting opportunities for the sector. So I'm going to turn it to Adrian now, because one of the most exciting task forces relates to graphics that should be coming around now, being handed out. Adrian, please.
I'll just wait a moment until we get the slides up on the screen. I'm not familiar with your Apple technology. No, that shows you how far you are through the deck, I think. We're just getting some assistance here, folks. Maybe I can get started without the slides and just give you some background as to my my task force. So we were, I should introduce myself. My name is Adrian Kinderis. I am the CEO of ARI Registry Services. We were tasked with industry mapping, and it was something that during the CEO roundtable discussions, I was continually banging on about, because Fadi kept referring to the DNS industry. He said, "We in the DNS industry, blah blah blah," and I kept putting up my hand saying, "Who? Who is this DNS industry you speak of?" Because I'm not exactly sure I understand precisely what you're on about. Said it a number of times, and then finally Fadi turned to me and said, "Well, you can go out there and define it." So we put together a few folks and had a number of phone calls and a few sessions to come up with some ideas around who is the DNS industry originally. And then we realised that in that work, DNS was far too broad, when this industry here really is focused on the domain name industry specifically. And so we wanted to ensure that that was captured appropriately. It's hopefully being sort of the bookends to this piece today, you'll see that the domain name association that I'll be discussing later is actually a subset of the domain name industry as we define. So you'll see it works well together. So we were part of the industry mapping working group. Should also say that we worked with the team from Explain. If you haven't seen them before, they've done a number of videos and graphics for ICANN, including the Who is ICANN graphic that appears on the ICANN website. So they helped provide some imagery to this industry defining, and you will have it in front of you right now. It is this one that's called the domain name industry. So we'll quickly step through that and the two other slides that we have. So I shouldn't be too long in my presentation. You can step ahead there for me. Thanks. Okay, so I understand this is really hard to see from your seats, but hopefully having it in front of you makes it easier. It's also on the Adobe Connect room, I imagine. If it is, you'll be able to see it there. And what this shows is three layers within the domain name industry. The outer layer we have termed the internet coordination layer. In that internet coordination layer, you'll see the IGF, or such groups as the IGF, ISOC, ICANN, and so on. And this starts at the outer rim of the internet. Then the next group down is what we're calling the ICT sector, and you'll see it defined as the service providers and industries that contribute to the distribution and evolution of the internet. We're having trouble. Folks have got it in front of them anyway. And really by this, there are a number of industries that exist within the ICT sector, such as the ISP industry. But you'll see here we have specifically created a subset, and that subset is known as the domain name industry. And these are organisations, businesses and individuals involved in the provision, support and sale of domain names. So the value chain, if you like, and we'll talk a little bit about that later. That's made up of registry service providers, registry operators, registrars and resellers. It's important to know that this document is a living document and our current best thinking, if you like, and certainly something that's that we would like to update should we get any feedback that requires updating. It also doesn't purport to provide every different scenario, but hopes to allow some good conversation, at least potentially for those outside the industry to understand what our industry looks like, and even those inside the industry to understand who are the participants. That's probably all we need on that slide. So next one, thank you. So the next one you do not have a copy of, and it's somewhat complex. What we tried to do was provide a document that showed how contractually these bodies linked together, could link together. And we started with one variation, and we understand that this is certainly not a GTLD view of the world, but we tried to show that there are different models with how registries interact with registrars, who interact with resellers, who interact with registrants. And this document shows all of those contractual documents. We thought that, at least I've done this many times when I've explained to someone how the industry works, when you try to show where the RA exists or the registry agreement, where you try to show where the RRA exists or the registrar agreement and who binds those and where they sit, we thought this might be a helpful tool showing that relationship. So once again, it'll be put up on the website. You'll be able to take a look at it when we take any feedback. But it's already saved me a number of times from having to stand up at a whiteboard, which I dearly love doing, to be able to explain the nature of the relationships between the different industry participants. Lastly, and you'll have this on the back of the sheet that you've been handed out, this is the value chain. This attempts to describe, I guess, the flow, could be the flow of money, if you like, or the flow of revenue through the industry. And once again, another diagram that I've found myself drawing a number of times when trying to explain how each participant makes their money within the industry. So at the top, you'll see IANA and ICANN working together. IANA are the boxes. ICANN are the people sitting around a table. One person's talking about nothing, so probably that's apt. Just joking. That's okay. Then you'll see what we're calling the wholesale layer. The wholesale layer is, as you can see there, the factories that are producing the dots. We've provided a couple of very good examples. I got paid a lot of money to include Verisigns.com there. We run .au, so that's why that was included. And then I like golf. And if someone could tell me what that Chinese character says, hopefully it's nothing bad. They were just examples to show that that there are different flavours of TLDs. You'll see then at the distribution layer, there are what are called registrars. And you see the explanation is registrars manage the provisioning of domain names under a top level. We've included different currencies there to show that they are global. And you'll see that one registrar can indeed just sell one TLD or can sell many TLDs, which is why the arrows join them. The next layer down is what we're calling the resale layer. We have resellers there. They're appointed by registrars to increase their distribution network. You'll see here that a registrar won't necessarily use a reseller. They may use a reseller, or indeed they may do both. In this scenario. So once again, trying to capture the nature of the industry and how it interacts. And then, of course, lastly, we have registrants. And the registrants have the right to use a specific domain name and being the bottom of the food chain, if you like, or indeed the top, depending on which way you look at it. So the consumer layer. Once again, these documents don't purport to try to explain every single possible variation. What we've tried to do is capture the majority of variations here. And really, we want them to be community-wide tools that that can be used in the explanation of our industry and indeed how we're mapped. So I don't know that I need to say much more. If there is any feedback specifically, you could go to this page here, which is where the Explain guys will be able to pick up and come back to us with any feedback. This has been through a number of iterations already, but we're really happy with where it got to and would love to hear. We did, I should say, in our work that we've done with ICANN, we have circulated this through different CCs, different Gs, so we tried to go out and seek feedback from all different parts of the industry. And I think that's all I have.
Thanks. In addition to the website feedback, though, one of the benefits of having provided the printouts, unless you want to take them home and frame them immediately, is you can scribble on them and bring them up. We'll collect them afterwards and collect it that way as well, certainly with questions at the end. Maybe we can have a contest to fill in the empty speaking box at the top and decide what that person is saying. I'm going to turn over to Raymond King. One of the concepts the task force has looked at was whether there should be a kind of a seal of approval or a code of conduct or a voluntary program among industry participants, and the team that led that did that was led by Ray. Thanks.
Great. Thanks, Chris. I'm Ray King, the CEO of Top Level Design, applicants for several TLDs, and I'm also the guy that started and runs ICANN Wiki. So anyway, just for a little background. At the DNS summit that we attended, I guess back in February?
April.
April? No, we met before that.
The first one.
Right. See?
You're right. I apologize.
We talked about this idea of the building a seal of approval, and I think it was born out of the idea that we really want to try and get the reputation of the industry to a place that was accurate and such that the DNS industry was well thought of. I mean, one of the things that I find painful sometimes is when you know, I'm out talking to people who are outside the industry, and if I tell them I'm in the domain name business, you know, every now and then someone will say, oh, yeah, you're one of those guys that, you know, grabbed a trademark name really early or something like that. And, you know, sometimes we're not thought of really in the proper light. And oftentimes there are also behaviors that, you know, everyone is frustrated with spam and phishing and that type of thing and trademark violations. But it's unclear whether that falls within our purview or not. So anyway, the idea that came up was to have an effort led by from within the industry, which would try and elevate our understanding and our general behavior to one that we would be proud of. And I think that at kind of a high level, we looked at it and said, you know, everyone's obviously committed to follow the laws, you know, within their countries, the contractual requirements set forth by the agreements with ICANN. And the idea behind this seal of approval is to try and set a third standard, kind of like a higher ethical standard, which would be, you know, above those two base layers. And I think the thing that we discussed a lot was, you know, how do you figure that out? What is the definition of, you know, better behavior or a higher ethical standard? And we came up with the idea of first, oops, can you flip the slide? Sorry, maybe the second slide. We did an exercise. And we used ICANN's wiki, internal wiki, and we came up with a bunch of activities, and we said, what are the different types of behaviors that we even want to talk about? And let's put names to them, because I think, to me, naming is really important, and being able to say, if we say a term like phishing or drop catching or front running, you know, are we all even talking about the same thing? So just getting the names to the different behaviors is in itself, it's a task and one that's very important. And then the second part was to talk about those items and decide, you know, are these good behaviors? Are they bad behaviors? Are they misunderstood behaviors? Do we even have a good definition of what it is? So we had the concept of building some information behind each item and saying, let's name it properly, let's identify exactly what it is, how it works, then let's say which industry actors typically take part in that activity and how do they take part in it, and then let's classify it as something that we think is a good behavior, a bad behavior, or maybe one that is in the cautionary area. And we did put together a brief document, which I think you may have in front of you. It looks something like this. So again, this is, I'm sure, way too small to read, but you can take a look at that, and you can see that we tried to classify the different behaviors. So we said, you know, some things that we can all agree are bad, and let's put them in, you know, in that first bucket, and then let's put the, you know, the ones that are, we originally called them misunderstood. I think drop catching was the one that first came up. I used to be involved with Snap Names, so that was kind of close to home. But there, you know, a lot of people thought that they could make an argument for why that was bad. Some people could make an argument for why it was good. So it was one that, you know, just required a little more discussion. And then, obviously, there are behaviors which we want to encourage in addition. Can you flip the slide, Chris? Thanks. So I think just dovetailing with what Adrian was talking about before in terms of who are the industry actors, that's a very important question because the we need to bound it in a way that we can talk about what is within our industry's control and what is outside our industry's control. Second question, how can the seal be implemented, was one that drew a lot of discussion also, and is, by the way, none of this is at all cast in stone, so the discussion continues. How can the seal be implemented? Well, one of the ideas we thought about was to have this set of behavior, and then whether they're registries or registrars or other companies in the space who want to sign up to commit to the behaviors would be able to use the seal. Maybe they'd go through a kind of a process to demonstrate that they're operating to code at the point in time to get the seal. They put it on their website, and then they have the advantage that they, because they have this seal, they are more trusted, and users can also click on the seal and then go to a seal of approval website, which would describe the program in more detail and provide a mechanism for feedback. So if they're frustrated, they can say, hey, I don't think these standards are being upheld, and here's what's happened and why. And then all of those, that input all the way, you know, directly from the end users would be analyzed, responded to, and actions taken, et cetera. So again, what are those standards? I think we discussed that a little bit already. One question that we thought about is, you know, how is this related to the GAC advice? Because I think that, you know, it seems like a lot of the same things are being discussed. Why is this important? How important is it for us to focus on these items? And I think it's important, I mean, first and foremost, to because we do want to act in a way that we would be proud of and one that furthers the industry. And secondly, from an external perspective, you know, how is our industry viewed? Another question we discussed at great length is if and when the project would be funded and how, because I think that there is the idea that we would require just, you know, staffing the support, building the website, figuring out who would make judgment calls on complaints and things that came to where a decision needed to be made, you know, who would be hired to do that, or who would be making those judgments, et cetera. All those things obviously would require some effort, as well as the technology to run the SEAL website. So that's kind of an open question for us. Chris, can you click? Yep. So the next steps for us are, the big item in my mind is trying to get some more volunteers. We are kind of desperate for more energy to help work on pushing this forward. And I think the way I've been thinking about it is instead of trying to envision the entire solution, break it into phases. So the first phase would be building the mechanism to have the discussion and getting the participation necessary to really get a good definition around the behaviors. And I think that can be done in a way that if we did nothing else but that, it would already be very valuable for the industry. So kind of like a minimum viable outcome, if you will. Phase two would be figuring out how to implement the seal, and then phase three would be kind of enforcement. And again, I think that it's important to kind of break it into logical chunks where at each phase, you know, we've got something that's workable and worthwhile, because I, in the discussions, I can see that, you know, some of the latter phases are difficult, you know, and frankly will take a fair amount of time to get right. So I kind of don't want to stop the train because we can't see our way through the whole thing. So what I'm looking for would be some volunteers to help work through that first stage, which I think is mainly information and discussion and trying to come to some consensus, again, on what those behaviors are. Another item that we've been discussing is the SEAL program and its relation to the DNA. So should this be a program that's run within the Domain Name Industry Association? Is that, I keep messing up with the A and the I at the end of the acronym there. But anyway, or should it stand on its own? Like, should it be independent? And I think there's some pros and cons to that. Between Beijing and this meeting, we had been meeting regularly on a conference call once a week, and I think we'll probably continue to do that. I'm looking over at Chris because you helped coordinate that. So, yeah, totally. So we'll probably be doing that, you know, on an ongoing basis, and would love to again have participation. There's all the details of our prior discussions are up on ICANN's community wiki. So hopefully you guys can take a look there if you're interested in participating, and or contact me if you like from there. Okay. I think I'm done.
Thanks a lot. A couple of housekeeping things. We have an issue with our Adobe room. I don't think the slides are showing. I think we'll probably we have 5 minutes from Elliot, and after him we'll get the slides up there. I think the pictures are in there as a PDF that Adrian was talking about. Apologies again, but we will get that in 5 minutes. One of the other task forces looked at a question about philanthropic aims and development aims and assistance aims, because a lot of the companies around the table were led by very social, corporate, responsibility-minded people, and there were efforts being made by companies around the table. So the idea of some collective action was raised, and Elliot has been leading work in that. And so, Elliot, if you want to take a five-minute overview, that would be great.
Yes, I see you. You've given me two cues around the timing, Chris. You're on the... So, again, coming out of the roundtable work, Chris, if you could pop it. Thanks. We took a step back, and we want to be small and simple and iterative, and I'll tell you what a couple of what this is not. You know, a lot of the companies in the industry already engage in philanthropy, and this is not intended to overlap or be company-sponsored stuff. This is very much an ICANN community effort. You know, you can see our members here, Alice Munya, the Kenyan GAC representative, now connected with the African Union. Fatimata is in the ALAC and is the AFRELO head. Richard Lau is not here. Frank Schilling had to leave. Edmund right here is, you know, who you all know from .Asia and other such hits, and myself. And we have our newest member to announce today. We have a bit of an announcement today. Sitting right there, Desiree Milosevic is going to join us. So Des just kind of waved to the crowd. And excellent. And you know, we you can see that these are not all people. You know, Alice, Fatimata, Desiree are not people who were in the CEO roundtables. One of the first things we wanted to do is extend this into the community. Adrian, do you want to maybe take over the space bar? Thank you. So we are in looking at what we're doing, again, we want this to be very small, very focused, and very iterative. We're taking an initial focus on internet access, and when I say that, you know, I'm a deep believer that internet access is probably the single greatest contributor to economic success that exists at a policy level across any infrastructure initiative that can be taken. We're taking an initial focus on Africa here, and we say that not just because we're in Durban. This has been our focus. You know, I've been talking about philanthropy coming out of the ICANN community for now a couple years, and I will tell you that everybody that I speak to has a first choice of some pet project that is different and then everybody that I've spoken to, and I've spoken to probably dozens of people over the years about this, has a very high on their list or a second choice looking at access in Africa. It's just broadly seen as such a great opportunity for the ICANN community, both because of our diversity, because of our connection to access, and because there is such a great footprint and contribution from the African community inside of ICANN. So, you know, again, I've talked about us reaching outside of the CEO roundtable group and now bringing in some others. You know, you need people on the ground to be able to help with these things. And, you know, we're not really thinking about where the money's coming from at this point. You know, we say it's desirable to have multiple sources of funds, but what's most true for us is that we want to be able to demonstrate the power of doing things in the small. And, you know, we think that there are great opportunities when you demonstrate what can be done with small, focused efforts, especially around networks, that can really set the stage for a ton of great progress going forward. And, you know, before I flip, you know, I'll tell you that there was something that I did that was a bit of a provocation with a fellow named Sasha Meinrath, who runs something called the Open Technology Institute, which is a group in Washington that has funding from the State Department and the EU that looks at small mesh networking. And Sasha and I co-authored an article in Slate Magazine. You know, to be provocative, we said, you know, we could provide free internet access for all of Africa for $100 million. Now, I was very much trying to provoke there, but I got to tell you that, you know, we kind of believe it's true. The point is not that we're going to set out to do that. The point is that we're going to focus on a small first effort, and we know that the mountain that we're pointing towards is a very broad opportunity around free internet access. And I also want to say that when we're talking about free internet access, there's a few things that are important there. I'm an entrepreneur. Free always sits beside paid. It doesn't replace it, it supplements it, or it complements it. So imagine, you know, a small city square or area of a city where you could have a square kilometer or 5 square kilometers of free internet access that supplements everything else that's going on. You know, it's take that first small step, point down to that bigger mountain. Don't worry about how you're going to get there. Start small and iterate. So, Chris, if you could flip. You know, we'll be digging through some of these questions, but I can tell you that for us, very much what we're looking at now is to make that small proof of concept happen. So what we're talking about in the group is probably to start with something in Dakar or Nairobi, where Fatimata and Alice are obviously on the ground and can help us make things happen. We may do one, we may do two small first tests and show what this stuff can look like. Flip again, if you will. And so next, you know, we have, you know, Des has just joined us. Alice and Fatimata have just been with us since Beijing. So, you know, we're going to further get everybody tight in the group. We're going to put out a technical white paper. And here, you know, this mesh networking technology we're talking about, you know, can be well described at a geek level. But we want people to really be able to understand what we're doing. And what we're doing is looking to roll out something that is small and autonomous, that can plug into anything from an overseas cable to a simple 3G connection. And even better than that, if the external connectivity is pulled out of it, any device connected inside the network, any computer, laptop, tablet, phone, can communicate with others connected on that network. So we're going to show you what some of that looks like. Just give me two more bullets. 1 second. Thank you. And then what we hope to do is between now and Buenos Aires to make some real strides towards that proof of concept and maybe even start to get some boots on the ground. So, you know, I'd love, you know, Ray was calling for volunteers, get as much help as he can. We want to stay small at this point, and, you know, we've got lots of people, you know, we've got a good core group that's working with us, but I really want to encourage, you know, anybody that's interested in just following along with what we're doing or wants to at some point get involved or plug in, you know, please let me know, because this is very much a community effort. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Elliot. Apologies again to the people in the Adobe room. We're working feverishly to correct the technical issue. I'm confident we'll have it addressed again within the next 5 minutes. I'm going to have us keep going. We have Edmund, who worked on a task force that was addressing, as part of raising awareness about the industry, whether conferences or expos or events of various kinds should be pursued. Edmund, please.
Thank you. And I'm actually stepping in here for Frank Schilling, who is leading the group on this effort. He unfortunately can't be here with us. But in any case, so as was mentioned, this group took a look at a sort of an idea for an industry expo or a conference for the DNS or the domain industry. So next slide. So when we start off, the idea itself is pretty simple. This is a conference that will promote the domain name industry, and the target audience is first thing sort of we talked about it. We want to reach beyond the ICANN community, especially businesses and consumers and technologists, and in important areas are journalists as well. So one of the we quickly identified is the objective of the conference. So it's not a not a repeat or not a repeat of the ICANN conference, but it's really to expose domain names and what's happening with the domain industry, the value proposition of domain names to a broader group of consumers, corporates, and also the media, as mentioned. Next. Right. And so the group, this is basically the group, myself, Tom, Blake, Richard, Cash, and Frank. So as I mentioned, Frank has been leading the efforts. Next slide. So the part of the sort of the outcomes or so far, as in terms of what we are thinking is as we talked about it, we want to reach beyond the ICANN community. So the sort of target audience and how we want to set this up, one of the first things is to decide whether do we do it within the ICANN conference, extend the ICANN conference? Is this going to be a standalone conference? Should we go and do something within existing consumer shows, existing domainer shows? And so one of the first things that we consider is sort of that. And we kind of came to a realization that perhaps if we are going to try to reach beyond the ICANN community, having it within the ICANN conference is probably not a good idea. And if we want to reach outside, we probably need to go to their events and go to those their industry events. I'll come back to that that particular point in a little bit. But we started to think about what to call it, and I think we had a pretty fairly interesting name suggested. It's an Internet Naming Expo, INEX, and we identify sort of what the conference might should include. Again, these are very early concepts right now. It would include the technology of it, the economics of the industry, this society, I guess the social impact of the industry, and some further vision kind of aspect. So next slide, please. And as I was mentioning, the group kind of sort of looked into the different possibilities and was thinking that it's probably best that we reach out to the community that we already identified and want to reach the target audience. And we're looking at potentially having sort of side conferences during, for example, the CES in the U.S. and or the CeBIT in Europe or in Asia, the ICT Expo in Hong Kong. And I guess the point, two points there. One, again, to reach beyond the ICANN community and go to the conferences that the corporate executives, the consumer already goes to. And the other one is about the going to different conferences around the world. So perhaps not just in the U.S. but also in Europe and Asia and perhaps in Latin America and Africa where appropriate as well. But these are some of the things that have been identified. And we're continuing to sort of refining the four themes that we identified and, what would be included in it to attract the kind of audience that we want to in those conferences. So next slide. And so this is, I think, probably the last slide. And again, this is what we are continuing to discuss, what the themes should be, and we're starting to look at how this could be funded and the sustainability of it. We're considering whether a separate entity needs to be set up if this kind of conference is being set up, how to manage show, when to when this can practically be implemented. Next slide. And right now we are looking at the various possibilities. Unfortunately, I'll have to say we were slightly stuck because CES is very full. It's very difficult to find the availability for the venue, and some of the other shows is again they're all very busy shows, and it's in terms of 2014 already it's becoming very difficult for this to be realized, but we're still working on it, looking at the options, and also considering the where the funds are going to come from and how to really manage this, because right now it's a volunteer group. If we are to actually put a serious conference together, there needs to be an entity or at least a team that could professionally manage this. So those are the next steps that are being considered. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Edmund. That concludes the portion which is devoted to task forces that the CEOs formed. We're going to go now into the DNA, Domain Name Association proposal and value proposition and mission and so forth, and I think Adrian will be able to tell us all about it, and I'll get the slides up right away.
Okay, me again. Just to finish off, hopefully the Adobe Connect room can now see these slides. Certainly looking through from Ray there. Thanks. This is like the eighth time I've done this slide presentation, so hopefully many of you have seen it before. The gags will all be the same, so please give the same amount of lack of laughter I've had throughout. I'll get through quickly. Let's move. You're all now... Sorry, I should tell you because I'm not controlling the slides. One more slide. Thank you. You're all now familiar with this particular diagram. I explained earlier as to how this fits in with respect to defining the domain name industry. Edmund, I hope you tidy up your slides. I did see the words DNS industry in there. That's one beer penalty for you.
When I spoke, I said...
You did say. Actually, you did. I heard that. Good, good. Half a beer. A light beer. We'll keep moving. So the Domain Name Association is a new non-profit business association. It represents the interests of the domain name industry. Importantly, non-profit is important, but global is really what we want to focus on here. The Domain Name Association is absolutely at its core about promoting globally the interests of the domain name industry.
We have no formal affiliation with ICANN. We are not funded by ICANN. However, ICANN certainly have been briefed of our intentions, and Fadi and the staff are supportive of the establishment of a domain name association. So the members and groups, the members are groups, businesses and individuals involved in the provision, support and sale of domain names. As I said earlier, this is comprised of registries, registrars, resellers and registry service providers. You are not, it is not about the contracts you have, whether you're ICANN accredited. It is the function you perform within the industry that defines your eligibility. Okay, so if you're involved in the provision, support and sale of domain names, you are eligible to join the Domain Name Association. Next slide. So our mission is to promote the interests of the domain name industry by advocating the use, adoption and expansion of domain names as the primary tool for users to navigate the internet. We felt that, especially in this time of flux, that no one was really looking after the interests of domain names as a whole. We're all, and rightly so, focused on the immediate future, and that is the release of new GTLDs or indeed our businesses. But if domain names themselves were to go away as the primary tool for navigating the internet, clearly that would impact all of us in this room and indeed the industry. So we felt that who had the interests of the entire industry at heart? Well, no one. So we needed to establish an association that would do so. So the key messages, we want to have a key role in helping consumers, business and public benefit organisations and others understand the benefits and take advantage of the upcoming expansion of the namespace. Clearly, the introduction of new GTLDs is a significant event. There will be consumer confusion. We see it as one of the main or one of the early roles of the Domain Name Association to assist consumers with that confusion. To assist them in understanding the name, so not contributing to confusion, which is potentially where I was going. We are the first ever industry trade group to represent these interests. I don't know in my 13 years of participating in this industry that this has ever been achieved before. If it has, clearly it hasn't been successful. It is an ambitious task that we are undertaking here to bring together all members of an industry that spans the globe, in many different languages, in many different shapes and sizes, and we're not underestimating that task. However, we are certainly prepared to, as we say in my country, have a crack. I think we can go next slide. By exercising effective leadership, the DNA will advocate for and represent the interests of the domain name industry before public policy makers. We certainly do believe it will be within our remit to lobby government. That may be, there may be times where that's appropriate, but it certainly won't be our sole purpose and lobby different policymakers. As you can see here, this is where we may well not be aligned with ICANN and other industries that are out there. We've seen other lobby groups within our own sphere, for example, the ANA with respect to the GTLD program, have successfully been able to lobby a large part of that. We'd certainly like to have the same amount of influence in our sphere. The intent of the Domain Name Association is to build trust, exchange ideas, educate and raise awareness of domain name related issues, both across the industry, so with each other, and outside of the industry itself. And next point about a trusted online environment is really where we see some interaction potentially with, as Ray correctly identified earlier, with such initiatives as the SEAL. It may well be something, and this is draft, but it may well be something that the DNA can tuck under its arm and say that if you're a member of the domain name industry, you get to carry the SEAL and that you are therefore able to be known as a good actor within the industry and somehow manage and police that. Clearly there's some work that needs to go into how that may be implemented. So the current status, we've established an interim board. Largely the interim board is made up of folks that, quite frankly, have been prepared to dedicate their time and or resources and or cash into getting us to where we are. And you'll note that it's somewhat a cliquey group. It's really been born out of an idea from Google and a few others. And we've banded together to try and get some momentum into this project and mobilise. It is certainly not the intent to keep this North American centric. You'll see a lot of the names here are from North American companies, but it had to start somewhere. So it's certainly on our agenda to globalise this as quickly as possible. I should also note that the interim board will stand down once the membership structure is in place, and it will be a voted board as conventionally done with associations, and I imagine that I will be eradicated as the chair, hopefully. So myself's there, Jeff Eckhouse, Rob Hall, Staten Hammock. If any of my fellow colleagues are here, I'd love to get them to stand up or wave. It's probably late in the day and they're at the bar. Should we have conducted this there, it might have been a better result. Job Lawrence from Google, John Nevitt from Donuts, and Liz Sweezy from Fairwinds are all putting in, I should say, putting in a significant amount of time and energy to get us to where we are. I should also make note here that Donna Austin of my staff has been fantastic in supporting our efforts. We have also reached out to an organisation by the name of Virtual Build Associations for a Living, and we are currently engaged them to help us through this establishment phase. Nearly done, folks. So where are we at? We've officially incorporated as a Delaware non-profit, so straight away all the good work I've been saying about us being a global entity has just been undone. Yes, we deferred to Delaware in the United States. Two reasons as to why we did that. One, we've got a number of lawyers that have been we've been able to have access to that are American for pro bono, so we wanted to leverage that. And two, we think that some of the major contributors, and some of those are on the companies are on the board already, and others that have shown interest are from the United States, and there are certainly some tax advantages to be made if their donation is done to US non-profit. So we wanted to be able to make sure that the low-hanging fruit was able to be accessed easily. We have charter and initial bylaws. They've been adopted. We're currently developing our structure. Clearly, the budget is a large part of that, trying to work out what our operational expenses will be, how much we'll need for campaign-related activity, so on and so forth. We'll then go into our membership structure. And starting here in Durban, we're pushing hard, which is why I've taken the opportunity to speak to you today about getting some interest. We've done education and awareness website. You'll see at the bottom of this slide deck, thedna, or thedna.org, is where you'll find largely the contents of this slide deck currently, but we'll build out some content as we continue. And the website, whatdomain.org, has been retooled. This will be live shortly if it's not live right now, and I'll talk about what that website looks like in a second. And like all good corporations, we spend a lot of time, wasted time, on deciding what a good logo would be. You'll see it at the top right-hand corner of our slide deck. Benefits, I won't spend too long here, folks. I think I've talked about a few of them as we go, but largely comes down to being able to have a voice, being able to share ideas with folks within the industry, and also being able to contribute to the longevity of our industry and the direction of our industry. So we'll just get through this quickly. We can keep moving, and we'll keep moving. Oh, this is the wrong deck. I grabbed this quickly. So imagine there's a screenshot here of a slide deck. Oh, it's up there. Okay. So it's only those on the Adobe Room that have... I've grabbed the wrong slide deck real quick. So those on the Adobe Room can't see this, but I apologise. So it's whatdomain.org, and it will be up very, very shortly. And I believe this is the first time that this has been done, where there is an agnostic website that talks about, in very simple language, what domain names are, what they do, and indeed the industry. And I know all of you will have had trouble explaining what industry you're in, whether it be at a bar or talking to your parents or friends, and hopefully this goes a long way to help that out. It is a great website. Very shortly it will be available in 6 languages, as will our website, as we maintain that global feel. I think you'll be impressed. We certainly are, and I should give thanks to the team at Google that have invested a lot of money and time into building out this website. So keep an eye out for that over the coming days. I should say, if you go to thedna.org, you can express an interest there. You'll sign up to our mailing list, and once the website is live, we'll notify you. Apologies for those on Adobe Connect yet again. So next steps, and finally, We need to finalise our budget and indeed our membership structure, as I said. We will transition to a formally elected board. We will begin our awareness and education campaigns, which will involve the launch of our educational website, which will help, we hope, demystify some of the issues around UGTLDs. We will do an official launch of the Domain Name Association itself and begin in earnest a membership drive where we can sign up members immediately. And that's all I had today. Thank you for the opportunity to speak to you. I also should thank ICANN. They've given us plenty of support here. Fadi, when I came to him with the idea of the Domain Name Association, was very, very receptive. And really it led from, when we were doing the industry mapping sessions, that it sort of it was quite obvious where the Domain Name Association should live and who it should be comprised of. So it was a very nice connection, and I guess that's why we've been able to dovetail the two conversations here today. So I'd like to thank Chris as well for giving us some time on the agenda. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I think there was a lot of good synergy, and it's amazing to see how much has grown out of creative talents and a lot of work in such a short time. I don't know, we're probably competing with the bar and competing with the bus schedule. It's a little disheartening to see the room slowly empty, but we have lots of time for feedback and for questions. We may have some coming through Adobe as well, I'm not sure. But anyone in the room, they had promised me roving microphones, but I don't have the roving microphones, so probably your best bet. Oh.
Hello.
And just let us know who you are, and if you have a look at the slide, you can tell us what you're commenting on, which topic, because we presented quite a lot of things. So let us know what you're commenting on and who you are, please. Thanks.
Thanks, Becky Burr, New Star. I am commenting on one of the slides at the beginning about the mission of the DNA. And it was right where you said we'd all be in trouble if domain names weren't being used. Just one thing. I think we would all agree that the domain name system may evolve. There may be new technologies. It's probably us who will be at the forefront of that. So I would hope that we could make the mission statement very technology neutral. I think we're all in agreement. So we wouldn't be like fighting some new system, I wouldn't think. Maybe yes, maybe no?
Well, it's hard to say without knowing. If that new system meant that I had to get into a new business or I'm talking personally as potentially a member of the Domain Name Association. I know if something started in parallel, and it already has, right, apps, QR codes, there are a number of different ways to navigate through the internet now. That may do without, you know, the requirement to register a domain name. I want to make sure if there was something new and different, and I've already invested a hell of a lot in where I am, I'd like to continue to push mine. That's not to say I can't join that innovation, but it may be not in the interests of the domain name industry.
Okay. Can I add to that? Edmund here, and just to add to that, I think what Becky you're mentioning is more of an ICANN role. If we're talking about ICANN, then that's probably correct. We were talking about names and numbers and general identifiers. But for domain, that's the reason why this is a separate association, I think. And this is very focused on domain names. Yes, if something comes up, we might actually fight it for a little while. We might actually have another business, another company that on the same time hedge on that and go forward with that new technology. But I think the association would be advocating for the benefits of domain name site. Does that make sense?
Yes, that's right.
Okay, I don't have a problem with advocating for the benefits of the domain name industry. It's just the sort of anti-innovation thing that bothers me a little bit, and maybe it's just a finessing that you might think about. And the other thing is, in most countries, lobbying is not a nonprofit activity, so I hope you're getting good counsel on that.
Thanks very much. Are there others? If you want to just hand each other the microphone, that might work. We're pretty informal here.
Hi, I'm Keita Dengue Thrash. Thank you very much. Just a quick question. Are all of the activities that you've described coming out of the DNA? That's the way it's been bookended by Adrian? Because what's really important about that is it's really great that these... And I'm thinking particularly about the philanthropy and doing access in Africa. It's got to be very clear that this may have come out of ICANN, but it cannot be sort of ICANN. And so there's a sort of a branding issue, and there's a... I've been lectured so often by you, Elliot, about mission creep at ICANN that I know I don't have to explain the point, but it's a perception
you
branding.
You still have the scars, Peter. I mean, our stuff in particular is just, you know, small group of people from the ICANN community who want to sort of pull from and, you know, give to the community. I mean, I think at different points it may make sense for us to look to staff for a little help or money or, you know, resources or connections, and at all times...
I would oppose that. I would object to that. I mean, that's the whole problem. I think that's the point. There's going to have to be the separate... I mean,
I think distinguishing
what is a wonderful idea and someone's got to do it. You know, God you guys are doing it. And then, of course, it's got to not be an ICANN.
Yeah,
and really the way...
You know, I think that it's to us to, you know, look to make sure there's no strings with that money. And more particularly, you know, I think that ICANN is starting to do some project work, you know, inside of their normal sort of functions now. And you can take up whether they should be doing that with staff. And I say them because I use ICANN as ICANN community. You know, but I think that we would just stand pari passu with anything else like that and, you know, hope to be good works, and the fact that it's coming from the community would, you know, put it in a good light.
And
it is very independent.
Jump in just to clarify, because we are at sort of a turning point. For your first question, we presented everything together because they're all sort of in the same vein, but as such, I think Adrian will probably comment, they're not affiliated, associated yet. If they will be, it's something under discussion. He'll answer that better than I will. On the ICANN help side, since these ideas were floated in January, February of this year, what we as staff have done, we've really seen ourselves as just conveners. So providing note-taking and a conference call line. And really all of the work has been done by the CEOs on the task forces and people that they've brought to the table. There have been sort of, you know, expert questions. You know, I think when we were asking about Consumer Electronics Show, we asked someone on the meetings team if they had a contact there, this kind of thing. But really it hasn't been an investment of staff time or hours or ICANN assets beyond the convening capacity, which really is our greatest strength in many ways.
Peter, if I may, it's Adrian Kinderis here. I think, and certainly all of these topics have been discussed on the interim board of the DNA, and Chris is right, there is separation at the moment. They're just ideas. I think if you listen to them, it makes perfect sense. Once the association is up and established, that it may well want to bring these within. All three ideas, I think, dovetail nicely into what could well be on our within our charter. But we'd have to, you know, sort of get through that when the timing is right in our maturity. You know, all three require funding and so on and so forth. So we're really, you know, happy that these guys have done the work they've done, because it's added some ideas straight away, injected some ideas into where we need to go as an association.
Great. Well, thank you very much for the answers. Just a couple of quick final comments. These graphics, great. The one on the board, very hard to see, but like you, I often end up having to try and draw things on a whiteboard, so this will be a big help. Having praised you for those, the root cause logo, very scary. Looks like an alien from Roswell or something else. See if we can do better. Thanks.
Somehow they printed the old version out.
Oh, you know what? It was me. I pulled the April version, and I apologize. We were a little hindered, as you have noticed, with some of the technical issues and delivery of information. So Edmund, who's really the the brains behind the graphics is pointing out that I've distributed an old version.
Yeah, we have a new one, which I think you'll like better. And I neglected to give Edmund actually a ton of credit for organizing our thoughts into that root cause document in the first place. So, yeah.
The new one's really cool. It has these little at signs as apples hanging from the tree. You'll love it. The other point is to make also about this, we're sort of at an inflection point here, both with the DNA, as Adrian's explained, you know, what they're up to this sort of stage. And for our CEO task forces, too, as well, they really felt that, you know, I don't want to speak for all of them, but correct me if I'm wrong, but they've sort of developed the idea also to a stage where, as you saw in sort of their what's next, it's time to either get more volunteers or more feedback, have the discussions with Adrian to see how to take it further. So this sort of nurturing phase has taken over, you know, the last 6 months, but what comes next will also be guided in part by what you and others that have been participating decide about where they'd like to take it. Next, please.
Yep. Jim Prendergast, focused on the DNA. You know, Adrian, don't get hung up on the term lobbying, because at the end of the day, it's just basic education. I think, you know, we're starting at a disadvantage to so many other groups in the sense that people really don't know who the industry is. Just going in and meeting with people and talking about all the things the industry does is not lobbying. It's telling a story. And then if, you know, you do get into a legislative spat, then it becomes something else.
Yeah, and look, I probably misspoke, to be honest. Lobbying means something different in different ways. And I know in the US in particular, it means something very, very different. So I just wanted to...
It means something very different and a lot of times very bad.
Yeah, that's right. But you're right. We certainly want to position ourselves such that, you know, if you think of media is probably an easy way when you talk about education. What I'd like to be able to do is get the DNA up to a certain point where if something happened within our industry that... when media wanted to get comment, they could go to the domain name, you know, a single point. At the moment, we have somewhat splintered voices, not always consistent, and that will still happen. They may still want to go out to individuals, but if the domain name association can have an opinion on something, then you know, it would be great if we get to a stage of size and magnitude that media come to us to ask it.
And policymakers, too.
And policymakers.
I mean, that's
yeah,
the key as
yeah.
well.
Thanks, Jim.
Thank you.
Hi, Tim Switzer. This is more a comment, and it'd probably be a little more effective if the room was more full. But between just a kind of a thought, and you may have mentioned this, Adrian, relative to the DNA, but I think a lot of us between now and the next ICANN meeting will be at various venues around the world, conferences, meetings, press conferences, whatever, and I think it would behoove us to the degree that any of you feel good about supporting this, mention it. I mean, I know I'm going to be on a panel in a New York City conference or whatever, and I around new GTLDs, and I plan to mention it. So anybody who can put a plug in, I mean, any kind of communication to drive awareness, new members, people thinking about it would be a good thing. So,
yeah, fantastic, Tim. Good job. Yeah, that's true too. We should tool up people as quickly as we can, such that if you did want to go there and say something, we could accompany that with some brochures or whatever it might be. Thanks, Tim. Appreciate it.
Hi, Conrad David from South Africa. I'm from a company called Hashtag South Africa. We're a social media company. Just as Tim spoke on creating awareness, our company just sent through a proposal to host Social Media Week in South Africa in Feb 2014. The global theme is open and connected world, and they also asked us to come up with a country theme, and we submitted the National Development Plan of South Africa, which is for the next 17 years finding out 9 solutions to 9 problems, from infrastructure to education. And the theme that we submitted was how we can use social media and gather people together to incorporate this. Now, with internet, social media are platforms, but we need to get people onto domains and their own websites and starting their own projects. So this is something that we'd like to, you know, to present to you and to show how we can expand and open and connect and learn a bit more. We have the vision, so thanks to ICANN, we can now plug into the right people, and we just wanted to share and to see how it can be.
By all means, offline we could catch up and talk details, and we'd be very interested in hearing what you're up to.
Great,
thank you very much. Were there any questions that came in on the Adobe? Are you guys checking it? No? How are we doing for questions out there? Looks like we have one.
Good evening. My name is Kivuva. I'm a fellow. I wanted to know if there are registration fee for this domain name association.
Excuse, you know what? I'm going to ask you to speak up a little more loudly, please.
Oh, okay. I was asking if what are the fees you are looking at for members to join the DNA, and also are other regions welcome? For example, African region players that are in the domain industry. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thanks for your question. First of all, the membership structure is yet to be finalized. However, we do assume that there'll be a tiered approach with different fees appropriate to different tiers. Certainly, we actually discussed this within a board meeting today, and certainly we want to make sure we are as inclusive as possible. And indeed, we may even have a structure that allows for folks to get granted membership without fees under special conditions. To your second question, current chairman of the interim board, I'm certainly pushing very, very hard to ensure that we go globally as quickly as possible. And we would more than welcome any participants from the African region, as we would any other region, to join the Domain Name Association once we've launched. So I urge you to please go to the website, put your expression of interest in, and we'll notify you when it's ready, and we'd love to hear from you. But thank you very much for your question.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. Good question. All right. I want to conclude. I just want to say the work that this group has done and the other members of the task force, it's been hard work. It's been also a lot of fun, and it's been actually quite inspiring. I think it's a great opportunity to brainstorm and be very forward-looking. And we are at this, as a group, at this point, this inflection point. To reiterate, there are multiple ways to give feedback. So if you have had handouts that you want to scribble on and bring them up with your notes, there is the website with the infographics that we indicated earlier. And come talk to the leaders here if you'd like to volunteer to help with any of the efforts. They were posted actually last week in a blog by Cyrus on the ICANN blog. So there's a link in Cyrus's blog last week which clicks through to those, to the public. It's just a feedback website. It's not an ICANN website. It's a standalone website that the graphic designers maintain. So if you check the ICANN blog, I think it was 7 days ago. Apologies, I didn't communicate that earlier.
Could I suggest, Chris, I think there's a part of the ICANN website that talks about tools or something like that. I think it would be great to, because I know that there's a part where the old Who is ICANN graphic that explained it is there. It might be worthwhile just having a tab that when you go there, lists, shows all the graphics in one place that's easy to find on the website.
Okay, we'll have a look. Thanks.
Just a suggestion. And I might just say in closing, and I don't mean to speak on behalf of my colleagues, but we'd like to thank ICANN as well for their support with these initiatives, and especially Fadi for calling us all together initially. So thanks very much, Chris.
Thanks all, and go have a drink. Have fun. We'll see you.